Well, welcome to another weekly wrestling roundtable, or weekly reporters of wrestling, whatever you want to call it, presented by Sunday Night's Main Event. We do this in the middle of the week, though. Hey, I am Jason Agnew, and this week, normally it's a roundtable. I guess this week it's more of a triangle table, because there are two other sides to it. And these gentlemen normally sit on the TV, and you watch them, and you listen to them. But I guess, guys, we could call this triangle table the aftermath of Aftermath. Unfortunately, the pandemic took its toll on Sportsnet and on Aftermath, as it did on TSN with Sunday Night's Main Event for a while. But let's welcome these guys to get on here and talk about wrestling. First of all, a gentleman who has shared the stage with me when stages were able to be shared. Nug Nargang, how are you, friend?
I get along, Jason. How are you?
I'm all right. Impressive collection behind you of Akeem and Bam Bam Bigelow.
This is some of it. There's more up there. There's more up there. Mm. There's more over here. There are books and DVDs. There's just stuff everywhere.
This is just your wrestling room.
Kind of. It got relegated and shrunk when we moved. But yeah. Yes, it's the room for all things now.
I get it. All right. Well, your fellow panelist, a gentleman, and of course, you have shared the screen with. He is former WWE official and has a turnbuckle behind him, as we can see, Jimmy Corderas. Welcome, sir.
Thanks for having me. And just an FYI, that turnbuckle is from WrestleMania 6 at the Sky Dome. I snagged it, put it in my bag, and kind of didn't tell anyone about it. But guess what? It's right there.
Love it.
Well, it's good you can own up to it now, which would be 31 years later.
Yeah. I guess the statute of limitations have expired. Sure.
Jimmy, I don't know if you've seen that A&E show that they just put out there where they're going after people who have the collectibles. You could be on the hook.
Uh-oh. Well, who knows who's going to show up? But then they'd have to cross the border, right?
What's it going to take, Jimmy? What can we offer you to get that turnbuckle?
I don't know. It's going to be quite hefty, the price. Let's just put it that way.
And also, I mean, who would they send to get the turnbuckle now that George the Animal Steel has passed on? Because he's the one with real turnbuckle appeal.
Somebody was at WrestleMania 6.
Edge?
Edge was there in the crowd.
He was there in the crowd. Honky Tonk Man, Greg the Hammer Valentine.
There you go.
Diamond Dallas Page driving the pink Cadillac.
We got ideas.
How about, let me tell you something, brother.
Oh, you wouldn't send Hogan to your home? I wouldn't wish that on anyone. All right. Let's get into this, guys. Okay, first of all, I mean, you know, the funny thing is about it happened to me when live audio wrestling went away, and we never got the chance to say what happened on air on a public show. And I think a lot of people may have tuned into Aftermath one week and just got, and wait a minute, what happened? Where are my pals that I see every week? So I don't want to get too deep into it, guys, but I'd just like to give you the floor to let people know what did go on with Aftermath. Jimmy, why don't you take it first?
Yeah. Well, I think it was just I wish I had the exact word, but it's a casualty of the circumstances surrounding what is going on right now. I mean, we're seeing it across the board. I mean, you've seen it with yourself too, Jason.
I have, yeah. Like
so it's an unfortunate casualty, but at the same time, I am thankful for the long run we did have. Mm-hmm. You know, I always try to put a positive spin on it. Like, I mean, I look at it this way. I'm like, how many other shows have been out there for this long? You know?
Yeah, you know, I felt that same way when, you know, live audio wrestling made it just over 20 years. And then all of a sudden it was like, poof, gone. And Nug, I mean, you're someone who works in performance. And as I said, you know, we've shared the stage together. Stages are no more. And then all of a sudden, again, Aftermath, another casualty of this pandemic. Had to be a shock to the system.
It was a little rough. You know, I loved doing the show. I loved coming in and, you know, shooting shit with Jimmy and hanging out and with everybody. And, you know, I got there when Jackie was there. Jackie and I came in when Renee left. We both came in kind of at the same time. And then Jackie goes to the Major League Baseball and the NHL Network, and we get Caroline, and then Caroline goes off to do other stuff. And then it's us. And then the pandemic comes and they move us to YouTube because we can't come into the studio.
Right.
And we do it via Zoom. And I think that was the moment where Rogers went, we can still fill this half hour on the schedule without these guys. And then that's when all the cuts came down for, like, not just Rogers, but Bell all over the place. Yeah, everybody got cut everywhere. And so it was no, when the call came, I knew what it was. Like when the phone rang, I was like, oh, this is us getting turf, because it's just not a thing. You know, when WWE provides Rogers with so much content, they can literally dip into the bucket and throw whatever they want on whenever they want. They don't have to pay anyone to do that. So they replaced us with a half hour show or less of more wrestling content when they need it.
Yeah, which is really too bad. I mean, there is something to be said for all of us who work in the Canadian media industry of doing actual CanCon, as we call it here in Canada, Canadian content. So it's unfortunate. Mm. But listen, you're both doing your separate things now. Nug, I know you're on Instagram after Raw each week. Jimmy, Ref and Rants are coming out all the time. But I am curious, you know, as I mentioned, when it did happen to me with the law, there was about 6 months where I wasn't doing a wrestling show as a part of my work. And it really did change my viewing habits. Raw and SmackDown were not must watches every week. If anything, I'd still take in all the podcasts. And I found pay-per-views. I definitely take time out to watch pay-per-views and really enjoy those recaps on the pay-per-views. They're all the more helpful when you're not watching every week. So I'm curious though, Jimmy, like how has it affected your viewing habits not to actually be reporting on wrestling each and every week?
That's the difference. You nailed it right there. It's like I'm not watching it now to find a critique, to find something to analyze. It's more like I'm trying to sit back and watch it as a fan, even though, like you said, I do my daily Reffing Rants. I find something that, you know, doesn't sit well with me, and I have a little fun with it on my social media accounts and stuff like that. But at the same time, I'm able to sit back and more watch it in a relaxed fashion, as opposed to, hey, I have to pay attention to see what worked, what didn't, and report on that. This way I could just kind of keep it up here and say, hey, you know what? I like that. I didn't like that. Whatever. But it's less stressful. Let's put it that way.
Now, Nug, I know you're still staying up late on Monday nights and you're doing the live stream after Raw. I cannot watch Raw live.
You're not alone, Jason.
It drives me bananas. I need the PVR. I wake up Tuesday mornings, which is when I watch it, but you're still putting yourself through this doing the Instagram live. Are you watching everything live, or is it just Mondays because you're doing that?
I'm watching Mondays live and everything else I tape. I used to crack a joke about what our job was on Aftermath, and I would say it's to watch upwards of 15 hours of programming and then come on TV and say, this was great, this sucked, see you next week. But right now I'm just watching, and I have a little notebook and I take notes, but I write, you know, like Jason, I'm an improviser. So I'm writing my dumb ideas down at the same time. You know? And of course, my wife is beside me watching it doing, you know, marking paper. She's a teacher, so she's marking or working on stuff, but she will make comments that will floor me, and then I'll write them down. So she can't, I don't think she could tell you what Damian Priest's name is, but she does know who Arrow Jesus is. And that's him. So I'll be writing stuff down, and I'll be like, and I'll ask a question, and then five pages of notes later, they answer it at the end of the show. So that's the kind of, I like seeing that. So like now when I recap, I go, I wrote down this. Oh, that's foreshadowing. Pay attention later. But what's great is I have the rest of the week to just watch everything else whenever I want. I can go have a life. I'm not beholden to the schedule of you have to talk about everything at this time every week. I can watch whatever I want when I want. And I'm finding that when I have the opportunity, it was already full of WWE programming, but now that I have the opportunity, I'm actually watching a lot other stuff, very different stuff, not just WWE.
Yeah, and I think that that's going to be refreshing on this show, because you guys were covering WWE on Aftermath, so I do want to touch on other things, of course, sure. AEW being the number one competitor, so we'll get into that in a bit. But in your casual viewing schedule, what is clicking for you now? Now that you don't necessarily have to watch, but what is, let's put down the phone all of a sudden, this is my attention, what has really caught your ear and eye that you're loving right now, Jimmy?
For me, and I hate to sound like this is the cop-out answer, but for me, I am really into Roman Reigns right now. I am loving this incarnation of him and the association with him and Paul Heyman, and I love how it's elevating Jey Uso at the same time. He's just resonating with me. He's clicking on all cylinders. It's working. He has found his niche. I find him believable in this role. And along with that, again, not to sound like the Homer guy, I'm loving the fact that NXT for me resonates in the sense that old school meets new school, and it's kind of meshing together very well, because I'm getting the feeling that on NXT, guys are getting direction, but they're also allowed to be themselves a little bit and experiment a little bit more. Whereas on the so-called main roster, here's your promo, here's your stuff, here's your scripted stuff, go and do it. Whereas there's a little more, it seems to be a little more freedom to sink or swim on NXT. And again, not to take anything away from AEW, I think with AEW, unfortunately, there's too much trying to throw too much at us in the 2 hours that they have on television weekly. But like I said, for me, Roman Reigns is just like nailing it right now.
Yeah, I mean, the evolution of the character has been great, and we'll see how long they're going to hold on to it. You know, I want to talk about that main roster comment that you made, though, because I have really tried to get away from saying main roster. NXT is its own show on the USA Network. Like, it is as important as Raw and SmackDown, at least to me, the viewer, to me, the person who's covering it. But, you know, Jimmy, what you also mentioned is it had people going up and people going down. And Nug, I'm curious, do you think that this would maybe be a better spot to see more people like what they did with Finn Balor, where you have a veteran that is taken not back, but shifted over, so that you do have younger performers working with older performers and allows them to grow?
I would love that. I mean, they seem to have done that with guys like Breezango. Like, they're, and I love them, and I love them in the tag division of NXT, because honestly, if you want to know how good a young team is, you put them against two guys like Breeze and Fandango, and you'll find out in a hurry, because they're just so good. You know, I imagine every time they wrestle anybody, they go backstage and look at Hunter and go, and then keep walking, you know, give him a big thumbs up. But I love that idea of bringing somebody to NXT. Like, I love that Finn Balor went back. There's about six guys you could rattle off on both rosters that could go down there and do wonders. You know, I thought Bo Dallas should have gone back, but he's now released. I think Bo Dallas is an amazing wrestler and a great character as well. So I look forward to seeing where he ends up. But I love that, Jimmy, NXT and Roman are clicking for you. Roman's clicking for me. I love seeing whoever's going to, you know, he's Lex Luthor. I want to see who takes down Luthor, you know. I'm all comic book references when it comes to wrestling, because I honestly think it just looks like superheroes having a fight. The thing that I love always is the mid-card. I don't care about Superman and Batman. I want to know about Firestorm and Red Tornado and all the other heroes that are on the card.
So, deep cuts now. Deep cuts.
I could keep going. Give me Booster Gold and Blue Beetle. Anyway, the stuff for me is the, not necessarily the main event stuff, but the middle of the pack. Like on NXT, I think that The Way is the funniest thing going right now. I know all four of them. I know all their characters. I know what they're going to do. As soon as Austin Theory walks towards the microphone, I know he's going to say something stupid. Johnny's going to go, shut up. Candace is going to try and keep Indy away from Dexter Lumis. Like, they have a thing, and it works, and it's funny. But that middle of the card stuff, like that intercontinental level guys, all the guys in the North American level and NXT, like Bronson Reed, I think is awesome. Every time he's this big hulking dude, and then he gets to talk and he's like a soft-spoken Australian guy, and it's kind of great.
Well, considering the two figures you have behind you, they're both very Bronson Reed-like, I would have to say. So I see that. And it's funny you reference Johnny Gargano, because after all those comic book references, there's the guy who comes out dressed like a different comic book superhero each and every pay-per-view. Yeah. I do want to ask you, though, about Johnny Gargano as we've gone down that. You mentioned the comedy. You and I both work in the world of comedy, love wrestling. It's some
and
of my
we'll know when it's bad. We will know when it's bad on
true.
Wrestling.
True. But do you think, though, do you question the fact, though, Nug, that he's got the title and he's doing too much comedy for the title? And Jimmy, I'm going to send that to you next. But Nug, first of all, from a comedian's perspective.
Not right now. He's more in that group. It is comedy, but in that group, he's the straight man. He wants everybody to smarten up and just, like, he's telling Austin Theory to not talk. He's telling Indy to stay away from this guy. He's just trying to keep everything together. He's the Fraser Crane of that group. And that's his job. That's his role. He is the champion, and he needs to be the stately champion, but he can't do it when he's surrounded by idiots. And that's, for me, that's the comedy of that situation. And let's not worry about comedy champions, because we worked with one who was very hilarious as an Intercontinental champion. and I don't think anybody had trouble with it.
Well, you know what? It's funny. And Anthony was invited to do this panel as well. And we talked about how, without having to report on it, what are you guys watching? Anthony just has taken a slight hiatus from watching wrestling at the moment, just to kind of cleanse the palate. So that's why he isn't joining us tonight, or he very well would be. Jimmy, though, too much comedy out of Gargano with the title, or does it matter because he is being very entertaining?
I have to agree with Nug, and that's and you're exactly right. As long as he continues to be entertaining, it's fine. But like anything else, too much of anything could be a little bit overkill. So there, the challenge here is to, when do you tone down that comedic side of him, and let him get a little more serious? Because, you know, in the past, the knock against people like Johnny Gargano and stuff like that were size. Everybody talked about how he was more of a smaller guy and will he fit in? You don't even think about that when you see him anymore, because you're focusing on other things like the comedic side. And when that starts to die down and you start to see a more serious side to him, you won't notice size as much, and you'll see character. And that's what people get invested in, is characters.
I think you would notice size. I remember that time where Gargano, I believe it was Gargano and Ciampa, bumped up to the main roster and became a tag team, even though they were in a feud. And I do notice when they're, again, I said main roster, but they were on Raw, and it did seem like there was much more of a size difference there. It is slightly more forgiving on NXT when you're dealing with guys that are a little bit more of the average size.
No, I totally agree. Totally agree.
So let's talk about Raw. We just went through WrestleMania. It was a week-long event. It was bananas this year in spite of a pandemic. The Raw after Mania tends to be like you get the season finale and then there's the start of the new season. This year, I'd say there was very much an exception to that. I mean, the next pay-per-view is called WrestleMania Backlash. Everything seems to be recycled over and over again. We're just going to see a repeat where I wanted something fresh and I wanted something new. Nug, you're nodding your head. I'm guessing you're feeling the same.
I wanted something new, not extensions of all the feuds that I thought finished at the season finale that is usually WrestleMania. The season premiere of the Raw after Mania brought me more, like, no stories ended, nothing stopped. And then to go 2 weeks after that one, that WrestleMania after the Raw after WrestleMania had to return the Viking Raiders, and they fought Cedric and Shelton. And then the next week, the Viking Raiders fought Cedric and Shelton. I'm really looking forward to next week when the Viking Raiders fight Cedric and Shelton. On the way to seeing them fight at Backlash.
Yeah, there you go. I think we're seeing a lot of that. And that's one of the things, Jimmy, that I've, you know, that is, I think, the biggest fault of WWE programming right now is they're so key in creating so much content that the content itself becomes repetitive.
No, you're absolutely right. And it's surprising, too, with the size of that roster and all the talent that they have available to them. Like you said, all three brands, and I hate using the term main card as well, because you can, you know, maybe incorporate some people from NXT up into Raw and SmackDown and make them feel like they're on an equal playing field, as opposed to having people like us refer to them as developmental or right. You know, main roster, blah, 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 you know, whatever labels you want to put on them. At the same time, my issue with the Raw after WrestleMania, and I know it's tough during these times, but pro wrestling in front of a live crowd is a completely different thing. I mean, I was there in New Jersey that year with Dolph Ziggler and that amazing reaction that he got, and it was insane. See, that's the stuff I'm missing. It's the instant feedback, the instant reaction that you're getting from the crowds. And yes, they did have a live crowd both nights at WrestleMania. I'm surprised that for the Raw after WrestleMania, they didn't incorporate some audience. I mean, you could borrow people from NXT, kind of like the way they do over at the PC, and incorporated some crowd, live crowd, into the Thunderdome. I think that's what's missing most. And not only just from the Raw after WrestleMania, but from Raw and SmackDown in general. Because at least on NXT, again, we're getting that feeling with a live crowd. We're getting some reaction from live crowd as opposed to the video screens. Nothing wrong with the video screens. Don't get me wrong. That's a cool look. But you're not getting that feedback.
Yeah, did it make a difference for you, Nug, watching this year's WrestleMania with the live crowd as opposed to what was thrown together last year?
There was a moment when the show started where they went on the rain delay. And I was really split on it, because I thought, first of all, that crowd has to be miserable. It's the first wrestling show back and they've got to stay inside because it's raining. Yeah. But secondly, it allowed for this half hour, 45 minutes of guys improvising promos on the fly. And I thought that was the most exciting part of the show for me.
It was cool.
Because I was like, what are they going to do? This guy's no good on the stick. This is going to be amazing. I couldn't believe they were just like, get out there and say something. And all these guys who've done scripted promos for their entire life had to go out and go, okay. And they had to come out and say stuff. That was amazing. But the poor crowd, what do you do to entertain that live crowd who's just foaming at the mouth for wrestling, now has to go inside because it's raining. It's an indoor recess because you can't go outside. And then they came back out and were greeted with kind of the same stuff we've been seeing all the time, because they didn't give you any new matches you haven't really seen before. It's the same match, or, you know, they have these two guys against these two guys, and then they have these two, and then they have, like, they just mix up the same people, and then you see them fight again at their big events. WrestleMania didn't seem special.
Yeah,
it was special because the fans were there, but I've said this a lot on my Instagram thing. WrestleMania and the WWE right now want you to, they want to deal in moments. They want you to remember a moment of a 5-hour show. They don't want you to remember the whole 5-hour show. They don't want you to remember how good the album is. They want you to remember one good song on the album. And so for me, all of WrestleMania was with some good songs on the album, but I'm not calling the album fantastic because of one or two good songs.
Yeah, I mean, the moment. What did stick out for you then, Jimmy? The moments of WrestleMania this year.
Oh,
aside from the rain delay and the promos, which I think we all just sat there and watched Kevin Owens and went, yep, that's why you're fantastic.
Yeah. I was pleasantly surprised with the ending to the first night. I loved it. I love that they put the women on last, and Bianca Belair does have a promising future. But from night one, the moment that lasted with me was right in the first match. Bobby Lashley getting Drew to basically pass out. And also night two, the moment I remember most, again, I talked about Roman Reigns earlier. Again, Roman Reigns coming out of that final match victorious and continuing his reign. I liked that moment. It was a pleasant surprise because everything looked like it was setting up perfectly for Edge. And then they kind of, flipped the switch a little bit on everybody. But at the same time, it came off well, in my opinion. Surprisingly, though, that they used the concerto as, in the past years, they've been staying away from, the headshots
with the chair. Yeah.
Yeah. But still, I thought it was done very well.
All right, guys, we've been WWE heavy, but this is kind of neat to have the two gentlemen formerly of Aftermath talking about AEW here. And I wanted to dive into that. We talked about some of the things that get you going as far as watching WWE goes, but the AEW product, Jimmy, the AEW product.
Yes.
Overall, what do you think of what they're putting out every week?
Okay. Contrary to popular opinion, I am entertained by the AEW product. My only issue with AEW is, as we used to say back before it was Aftermath, it was right after wrestling, the little things that matter. I think they try to do too much. Every match tries to do too much, as opposed to, like one match we talked about earlier, like comedy and stuff like that. One match being a comedy match and one match being a hard-hitting physical match and one match being a tag match with a lot of high flying and another tag match being different with somebody like FTR. I think everybody tries to do too much. And again, I hate to bust on my brothers and sisters in stripes, but rules matter and should matter because it's been part of the wrestling business from day one. And when you start fudging those things, it's hard for heels to cheat. Let me put it to you this way. When you distract a referee so that the heel can get some cheap heat on him, how long do you have to distract him for the guy to run out from the back through the tunnel to the ring, cause some interference, and then kind of sneak away, and then the referee turns? I mean, like, it's just the little things like that that drive me nuts. I don't have an issue with the talent. I just have an issue with some of the presentation of trying to do too much. And let's say, for example, if you see a super kick by the Young Bucks, why should I care when I've seen it in three other matches?
Right.
Do you know what I mean? If that makes any kind of sense.
Right, right. I do love hearing your perspective, Jimmy, because it starts with the ref and then moves on backwards to the rest of the event. There's always going to be a ref angle to it. Of course there is, from what you used to do.
Exactly. And see, the ref's job, for those out there who aren't aware, is to help the guys and gals in the ring tell their story, not be a part of the story unless there's a spot in there that you're incorporated in. Your goal is to let them tell their story and help them facilitate telling their story, not to be a distraction, not to get in the shot, not to make sure that you are seen. You're invisible until you need to be visible.
All right. Nug, AEW. Now, I know, you know, you and I are very close to the same age and grew up very WWE heavy. This is the alternative to WWE. Mm-hmm. You've been digesting it every week. What have you taken out of it? What do you love?
I just like seeing the people. Like, it's what I love, and also what I don't like about it is that I don't know anybody, and they're not giving me a chance to get to know everybody. They're throwing everyone at me every week at the same time, and I'm just like, just stop for 2 minutes and tell me who this person is, because there's a bunch of people that are hanging out with a whole bunch of other people, and I know one guy, but I don't know the rest of the gang. And there's a lot of gangs. I'm sure we'll talk about gang warfare. But like, I don't need DOA and Los Boricuas. I don't need gangs. I don't need them. I just want to know who people are. And for Jimmy, for me as a fan, it's sports entertainment. The referee is there to enforce the rules. Otherwise, how do you know when a bad guy is breaking them? So he gives the semblance of an actual sport to what's going on. He's dressed as a referee, almost like a hockey ref at sometimes. And he's there telling the people, don't do this and you're allowed to do this. And he's the guy, the official, that makes the count to end the match. And if that guy is incredible, then maybe the product isn't for a bit, just in those situations. But I love seeing Sting, but you know, with this Darby Allin character, like Darby's getting such a boost from Sting. You know, and all these other, you know, here's Tully coming out with these guys in the Pinnacle. For me, I'm like, all those guys are great. And Tully being there means, well, I respect Tully. So if Tully thinks the world of these guys, maybe I should think the world of these guys too. I love MJF. I think, you know, he's a jerk and we should all boo him. But he's doing an excellent job of making me hate him, which is not how any wrestling fan should talk. But that is what he's doing. They're throwing a lot at us every week, and things change. Not for the main event, but on the mid card stuff, things change. Like these two guys were over here with these two guys, and then all of a sudden they're not. But now they're all in different gangs, and there's no reason why. And give me 2 minutes of explaining some things, because it seems a lot happens with no explanation.
Yeah, I think they're definitely suffering from so many people. It's the opposite of WWE, where they have so many people on the roster and they're putting them all on television at once. Mm. And they're doing that in these factions, in these gangs. And listen, you know, we talked about gang warfare already. Jimmy, I believe you were there for gang warfare in those days in WWE. Nug, you already mentioned Tully Blanchard. I know you're a big fan of the Horsemen. I mean, you had a comedy group called the Minnesota Wrecking Crew, right?
I absolutely did.
So, we love the factions. Factions are a part of wrestling. But sometimes too much is too much. Everyone in AEW seems to be in a faction, aside from Christian, but he's trying to get recruited. at what point does it become too much, Jimmy? I mean, you went through those years of gang warfare in WWE with, yes, Los Boricuas and Disciples of Apocalypse, and even into the Hart Foundation years. And the Hart Foundation is way up here. DX is way up here. But then you did get into those muddy waters where you had all these factions that really didn't matter. And I think we might be in that again.
Yeah, that's the thing I'm fearing right now. Like you said, you had the Hart Foundation, you had DX, you had the upper tier factions, and then you had a couple of lower tier factions. In AEW, everybody seems to be pretty much on the same level, but there's just too much of it. And if you watch this past week on Dynamite, it seemed like after the end of every match that one of these factions were involved with, there was a run-in and there was a beatdown and there was like everybody jumping and piling in. So if it happens at the end of every match, then when does it become special and exciting and make you go, ooh, I'm curious to see what happens next? If everybody does it, then it's not special.
Do you remember when WCW was running and the NWO had 5 or 6 people and we were like, yeah. And then the NWO had 30 people in it.
And then there were two NWOs.
And then there were two NWOs.
White and red.
AEW looks like they have seven NWOs.
Yeah, there is a lot of that happening. And you're right. I mean, it just doesn't feel as special if you have a run-in after each and every match.
Yeah.
Now, granted, you know, we mentioned the Pinnacle, and we do have the Pinnacle and the Inner Circle facing off, and they're going to do a blood and guts match. Now, this is going to be a War Games style match. I am of the opinion that this format of War Games, which we've seen in NXT, its day is done. The fact that there can't be a finish for the first half hour of the match really throws me as a fan. And I don't think it works in the modern day. I think that they might be able to make it work, but I think that they're fighting an uphill battle. Nug, War Games format, yay or nay?
I gotta say nay. I don't want it's weird because I don't want to see everybody in there all at once right off the bat, but I also don't want to see this waiting for the match to start. So what, there's just no point to the first 30 minutes of what they do? There's no consequences for anything they do. It just seems weird. If there's a way they can tighten it up, if there's a way they can make the blood and guts match work for the modern era, then I'm on board. I want to see what they do. It's a lot of car crash for me. It's a lot of like, I'm interested because I, out of curiosity more than being interested in the product, I just want to see what they're going to do.
Well, AEW has tried to modify different things. They've tried the Royal Rumble with tag teams. Didn't work. They tried the casino battle royale with different cards coming. I don't even know what the rules were, and I've seen it twice. Having said that, the unsanctioned matches, as much as I don't care for that style of wrestling, have definitely done well for their audience. So what do you think? Do you think, Jimmy, they can at least modify whatever War Games was to work in a couple weeks? I mean, Jericho is a part of it. He does tend to do things very, very well.
Yes, he does. And that's the one benefit, is you have someone with a mind like Chris Jericho who might be able to turn this into chicken salad. Mm-hmm. But, you know, maybe they could incorporate other minds, because you look at the minds that they have there. You have your Arn Andersons, you have your Tully Blanchards, you have Billy Gunn, you have Dustin Rhodes. You've now brought in Christian Cage, who is like great mind. I can't believe that they're not utilizing these minds better. And like Nug said, the challenge is going to be, how do you make me care about this first half hour when, you know, the first 30 minutes when the match can't end?
Yeah.
You know, now, like you said, Nug, you said it very well. Now I'm more curious to see how they fill that first 30 minutes as opposed to who's going to win this match and how are they going to win this match. You know what I mean? It's just the focus is in the wrong place for me.
Uphill battle. Let's talk about another AEW angle, and that is the one that they are doing with Impact. But if you watch AEW, you'd have no clue that they are doing something with Impact. It's Omega. It's the Belt Collector. This thing started hot. Don Callis is absolutely incredible. I love watching him whenever he opens his mouth. And I love the Belt Collector angle. But, you know, Nug, I don't know if you're watching Impact, if it's brought you back to do. You are going back and watching it. Was it this angle that brought you back there?
No, I'd been watching Impact once I figured out where it was on what channel and where and what time and everything. I'm watching it. I think in the last couple of years, Impact's done a really good job of kind of turning things around from where they were. And I'm not going to say it because they signed a bunch of Canadian dudes, but okay. What I really like about it is it's the different product. It's one of the different products for me. When everybody's WWE versus AEW, I'm fine watching the third thing. I don't mind watching the thing that other people aren't watching. And it's really good stuff. And it's harder for them because they are much smaller and still don't have an audience. They really are fighting an uphill battle. But some of the things they're putting out there are really good. Now, are they benefiting from this at all? Is AEW benefiting from this at all?
That's the bigger question.
I don't know what the benefit is. If you get Kenny Omega to collect that belt off Rich Swann, then what does that do to, what does that say about Impact? Where does that leave Impact without a champion? is it special now because Omega's been coming over to the show every week that Omega is their champion and now will be on the show every week? It hasn't really done anything for the ratings. I can't imagine what it's done for either company. And it's no wonder AEW hasn't brought many of the Impact guys over because they have too many guys on the screen already. They're not going to put a whole other company on.
I mean, I did think it was a miss this past week that we didn't see Rich Swann getting involved on Dynamite.
Just to promote the event.
Blew my mind. I mean, if you're going to put your champion on that event, then at least have Swann come over, cut a promo, do something. We didn't see anything. And, you know, Nuggy brought up a good point. So if Omega goes in there and gets the belt, cool. I guess he brings it over to AEW, but we haven't seen any promotion for it. And if he doesn't, that means he's failing. Jimmy, the only way I could see him failing is if another AEW talent comes over, interferes in the match. Is this something we've what's happening, Jimmy? What's the head pointing here?
The wheels are turning here as you're speaking, Jason, because you were thinking another AEW talent comes over and kind of costs Kenny Omega the match against Rich Swann, which would be a good idea if you want to build up both brands and have Rich Swann come to AEW as both champions, and that gives a little bit of spotlight to both companies on a national stage. But what if it were Don Callis's master plan all along to kind of get Impact Wrestling over by enticing this whole interaction with Impact Wrestling and siding with Kenny Omega, his old buddy from Winnipeg and stuff like that? And then he's the one who turns on Kenny Omega and costs him the match this Sunday at the pay-per-view.
Oh boy.
And it's like it's Impact management or higher ups. Yep, there you go.
It was him all along.
It was me, Austin. It was me all along, you know.
The not so invisible hand at that point, I suppose you could say.
Very loud.
Are you guys watching? Are you guys going to be watching on Sunday?
I'll tune in. It's something to do. It's something to watch. And it's interesting. It's one of those things where the one guy from one company could hold another company's title. And that is something that hasn't happened for years in the industry. You know, it reminds me of opening up the old After magazines back in the day and going, oh, I can't believe so-and-so went to AWA, but is the NWA champion. You know, I like that stuff.
I will give him credit for this. This champion versus champion match is what's got me intrigued about this pay-per-view. And you talk, we talked about ConCan. We talked about Canadian talent. I have to give a special shout out to my buddy Josh Alexander, who had a hell of a match last week with TJP on Impact Wrestling. Just want to make sure I threw that out there.
I do miss the North.
Oh, yes.
I hope that they rekindle at some point. I mean, Scorpio Sky is fine, but come on, the North. Yeah. We want to see that together.
We want to see the North.
Yeah. Yeah. Before we go here, guys, who are you watching out for in 2021? Who do you think, I guess, either you, maybe it's two questions. Who do you hope gets the rocket attached to their back? And who do you think has the rocket attached to their back for 2021? Jimmy, I shall start with you on this one. It can be any company. It can be anywhere in wrestling. Just tell me both of those points.
Okay, I'm going to actually do the two main companies that we've been talking about, AEW and WWE. In WWE, after this week, I kind of surprised a little bit with Matt Riddle getting the win over Randy Orton. But at the same time, as much as I'm not digging the Spicoli character that he's doing, you know, I guess somebody sees something in him, so there's a possibility. I'm hoping for Adam Cole. I think Adam Cole ticks all the boxes and is a great talent. He's great on the mic. He has a great character. He's great in the ring. I'm hoping that he gets it, but I also see Big E possibly getting that look. But if I'm talking AEW, I was very impressed with Starks this week against Adam Page. I think he's got a bright future ahead of him. But MJF, my goodness, for the guy who is as young as he is to get it as much as he gets it, it's almost like you talk about comedy. I like referencing music. It's like as you get older, you tend to appreciate the music of Gordon Lightfoot, the old school guy, more, and actually say, hey, this guy's actually quite good. And you listen to the words in the songs, they actually make sense. I think MJF is that guy who got it earlier than most. And I think this guy's destined to be huge.
This will be the only program ever where MJF is compared to Gordon Lightfoot, everyone. That is Unexpected to say the least, Jimmy. Oh my goodness.
Well, I'm not comparing MJF to Gordon Lightfoot. I'm just saying that he gets Gordon Lightfoot at a young age. How's that?
Back of the old inner circle.
There you go.
I got it. Nug, all right. Who to watch out for and who do you want to see run away with it in 2021?
Okay. Who do I want to see run away with it? Just to answer that question, Bronson Reed. I want him on every channel. I want him squishing everybody. I think he's his Bam Bam Bigelow inspired gear at the SummerSlam event was for me. And I thanked him for it. But I'm going a little out of the box for, I got two guys I want to mention for sure. What an unexpected surprise between the two nights of WrestleMania to see WrestleMania After Dark hosted by RJ City. What an unexpected surprise. This guy's been popping up on The Bump on WWE. He got his own late night talk show somehow. This guy's going to get a Legends contract and never step in the ring. it would be perfect for him. There's no better person to make money and not wrestle than RJ City. And the other guy I want to mention, I'm going to dip my toe into Ring of Honor because I think Danhausen should go straight to the moon. I think Danhausen is phenomenal. I knew him before the makeup. I used to be a ring announcer in some shows that he worked on without the makeup. And then at Old Wrestling, if you've never seen Old with an E, Oldie Wrestling, they place the entire show in the 20s. So everybody has a 1920s character, and he put the makeup on for that show and then ended up leaving that show and going like, I should do this makeup thing all the time. And like, what is he? Is he a Muppet? Is he a gremlin? Like, no one knows what he is, but it doesn't matter because he's hysterical and he's really good in the ring. He was just on Conan O'Brien's podcast this week.
Yeah.
I think Danhausen's going places and maybe outside of wrestling, but love that Danhausen.
All right, there we go. Okay, guys, so before we get out of here, let's tell people where they can find you now. Jimmy, I see there's Ref and Rant t-shirts available. It's catching on.
Yes, Ref and Rant t-shirts are available at prowrestlingtees.com/JimmyTheRef. Obviously, it's been a while, but as I do the Mick Foley self-promotion, the three count, My Life in Stripes as a WWE Referee book is still available out there from ECW Press. And also, I do a weekday, Monday to Friday, Ref and Rant on all my social media accounts, on Twitter, on Facebook, and on Instagram, where I just pick a topic that hits me from the night before or from the show before or something that just resonates with me, and I have fun with it. It's a minute long. It's not long. It's not overly drawn out, and it's meant to be fun. I think some people take it a little too seriously, but I'm trying to make it fun, but at the same time, somewhat educational, if that makes a little bit of sense.
And if people do object to it, you do like to spar with them on the Twitter machine.
This is true.
Every once in a while.
Bubba Ray would say. Yeah. Nug, so you're doing Instagram After Raw, and where can people find that and see you?
They can see it on Instagram at NugNarGang. I have the same Twitter handle at NugNarGang. I do the Raw recap immediately after Raw so that my wounds are fresh. And then you can I put it up on Instagram IGTV so everybody can watch it at their leisure. And that's it. Other than auditioning, Jason knows the score. We audition, we throw a lot of auditions out into the void and hope that they come back. But in the meantime, watching a lot of wrestling and I'm playing a lot of board games.
There you go. All right. Well, guys, thank you for doing this today. Appreciate it. I'm sure our listeners are happy to hear your voices once again. And now they know where to find you. So thanks, guys. Mm-hmm. Let's do it again sometime.
Yeah, Jason, let's get on stage and do some improv, and we'll put Jimmy in the middle and play a game. Well, what's the one where we touch him and he speaks?
Yeah, we should just try doing that on, like, do one of these virtually. Oh, boy.
Oh,
that's not good.
you've got me. Whatever it is, I'm in, though.
Oh, this I love is it. A He's pandemic situation. There we go. He's on board.
Yeah, there you go.
Great. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Jay.
Thanks, Jason.
Sunday night's main event is crowdfunded. You can support the show by joining our Patreon. Just visit patreon.com/SNME Radio. patreon.com/SNME Radio.